Chapter 17. Outside Space, Beyond Time. The first conscious thought Shigiri formed was this: Noma, hold me. How much time had passed? Seconds? Minutes? Days? Years? He couldn't tell. The ends of his thoughts clashed with their beginnings. His sense of time was gone. He simultaneously felt like he was just arriving in that non-place, and that he had been there for a long time. In some sense, he felt like he was trapped in an endless instant that was going on forever, all at once, overlapping. He was floating in a bubble of reality, where there was no sense of time or direction. But what matters is that I am. I am not gone. I am. Where am I? He wanted to scream, but he had no mouth. He wanted to see, but he had no eyes. He wanted to grab onto something, anything, but he had no sense of a body. He was just a disembodied consciousness, floating in an ocean of emptiness. Fear seized him, deep and abiding and pure. And he could not conjure enough of himself to weave it into anything new, to control it. The fear settled in. It was worse than being lost in the space between worlds. At least there had been a sense of mass and energy and time and enough embodied containment of himself to hold on to Noma and to push against the dark. Now, I just am. But at least I am. Focus on that. I know who I am, and I know at least one thing with absolute certainty. Noma. Shigiri focused on everything about her that his mind could summon. The sound of her voice when she said his name. Her lovely brown eyes that glazed over when she consumed a spirit. Her thick lips. The way her heart beat when she was sleeping in his arms. Her lovely and dangerous laugh, her silhouette against the moon when she flew through the night sky. Her moans of pleasure when they made love. The dance of her feet through fine sand on the beach. The heat of her tears falling onto his skin when she finally told him she loved him. He focused on it all until he started to feel the flowering within him of a potential for something like a sense of direction, a sense of time. Like something vaguely magnetic was pulling his raw, exposed consciousness toward it. He allowed whatever sense of consciousness he had to follow the feeling because even though he could not see or hear or sense where or even how it was moving him, he knew with every fiber of his being that it would lead him back to her. He had faith. He believed. He followed it and followed it and followed it until the flowering became a bloom. He could finally tell that time was passing in a steady direction, even though he could not tell how much of it had elapsed. Time. I am tending towards time. He continued to follow the potential that was guiding him until his consciousness hit what appeared to be a barrier of unreality. It seemed thin and elastic and uneven, like a membrane. He pressed ahead, pushing against it with a singular focused thought of her. It gave. When he broke the surface of the unreality membrane, sensations rushed in to fill the vacuum. Space and time themselves had finally been let in, and his consciousness could take shape within them, like water flowing into a vessel. He felt everything, too many things all at once. Sensory overload. But he kept his focus on her. And then suddenly the chaos ceased and his consciousness achieved clarity. He felt the familiar weight of presence in his own body settle on him, but it was lacking something. Breathe. Breathe. Remember how to breathe. Shigiri opened his mouth and swallowed a clumsy gulp of air, like he'd been drowning. The retreating sense of nothingness still weighed his body down to the ground, but he could now feel and move, at least a little. He opened his eyes, and there, staring down at him, was the face of the loveliest being of all creation. She was crying. "Norma, I am back in the world. I am not lost. I found Norma. Or perhaps she helped me find my way back." He heard Alistair finally break his shocked silence from the corner of the room.
"Well, I'll be fucked."
"Yeah, me too." Shigidi took stock of himself as his breathing finally caught a rhythm. His arm was still missing. There was barely a crackle to his spirit particles, and the beating of his heart was slow and sluggish. The blurriness of Norma's visage as she leaned in to kiss him let him know that he was not yet whole, that he was still broken, perhaps more broken than he had been before Olonru withdrew the broken headdress which contained Olonru's wartime aspect from his body. And even then, he was barely hanging on. But at least he was not destroyed. There was still a faint vibration in his chest, like something remained of that power, a kind of energy echo, making him yearn for a fight, even though he was in no shape to survive one. The muted vibration was pulling at his emotions, making him miss Orun more than he ever had before, even while he worked for the Spirit Company. He was not sure what it was or if it was even real. And if it wasn't, perhaps it would fade away with time. But none of that mattered in the perfect moment of reawakening. What mattered was this: I am alive. He threw all of himself into the kiss of the woman for whom he had reconstituted himself, for whom he would wage war against gods and giants, the woman he loved and believed in completely. The kiss subsumed the world until it was the most real thing he had ever felt, fully anchoring him back in reality. Their love tasted like cool wine on his lips.
"You found your way back, huh?" Olonru said.
It seemed less of a question and more of a statement intended to pry them apart and force them back into conversation. Shigidi saw that Olonru's white agbada was glowing like there was a fluorescent bulb woven into the fabric. The glow matched his eyes and contrasted spectacularly with his dark skin, making it look recently polished. The beam of light that had bound them was gone, leaving nothing but an extremely faint glow around Shigidi's chest, which he doubted was even real. It had the quality of an afterimage or a mirage, and Shigidi's eyes were still adjusting to being back from unreality, so he wasn't completely sure of anything, except that Norma was with him. Olonru wore the brass headdress of Obanufon like a crown. It was glowing too. "Yes," Shigidi finally managed to croak out. "Thanks to her." Norma disengaged and sat up, placing her palms on her knees as though she were about to say a prayer. But instead, she pulled his head into the softness of her lap and held him there like a sick child.
"You still feel it, huh? Don't you?"
Olonru said. Realization fell on Shigidi with shocking suddenness. "Yes." Fear and guilt and uncertainty alchemized into a tight knot in the pit of Shigidi's stomach as he tried to suppress the vibration in his chest. He was afraid to answer the question, to admit that he still felt it. Afraid that if he did, it would turn out to be true. Afraid that it had been a mistake. That perhaps Olorun was referring to something else when he had asked the question. "You still feel it, don't you?" What if Olorun was merely talking about the disorientation, the remnants of the sensation of being lost in unreality, of being out of space-time, and not about vibration in his chest, the hint of bloodthirst in the back of his throat, and the persistent longing for Orun that he felt? If he gave the wrong answer, perhaps Olorun would realize his mistake and decide to take whatever little of himself was still left in Shigidi. And whatever was left could be the spark of animation he needed,
The only thing that was still keeping him alive, that helped hold enough of himself together to find his way back. No, please. Shigidi's shallow breathing became labored. He stuttered. Don't worry, I'm not going to take it back, Olonru said before twisting his head and flashing a playful smile. Besides, it will fade. Or perhaps it won't. Who knows? Ah, Olonru, you lovely bastard, Shigidi smiled. You didn't take all of it, did you? You left some of your war aspect in me, a small spark to keep me from dying, from being completely lost. You gave me a chance to find her. Consider it a hazard pay bonus, Olonru said, and Shigidi exhaled a lungful of fear. Noma must have realized what Olonru was implying too, because she squeezed Shigidi to her even tighter. She looked up into Olonru's bright star eyes and mouthed the words, "Thank you," over and over and over again. "Thank you, Kabiezi." They remained motionless for a second, and Shigidi let everything that had happened settle on him like rain. He acknowledged the gift and the risk that Olonru was taking. Now that he truly knew who he was, who Olonru was, Shigidi understood. It was a small risk, but a risk nevertheless, to leave some small fragment of his wartime aspect within Shigidi, out of his direct control, as he went up against the most powerful of his fragments, Shongo. So why? There had to be a reason. Something to make Olonru think it was worth leaving some of his power behind. Shigidi thought back to the moment when he'd reconnected to the source, when he'd felt just on the verge of some further final revelation. I am the fullest expression of the divine subconscious. But I am more than... The connection had been severed just before he could grasp the final piece of understanding. What are you not telling me? The brass headdress on Olonru's head began to fade, slowly and unevenly, like it was being digested by some invisible creature, until finally it disappeared. When it did, so did the glow emanating from Olonru's clothes and skin. But the white hot metal glare of his eyes remained. Slowly, with a stately manner, he rose to his feet. He spoke as he approached Shigidi and Noma on the floor. I must admit, I did not think you would be able to reconstitute yourself. Even though I left some of my wartime ash in you, I still had to sunder you to extract most of it. All I gave you was a chance to find your way back. But even with that, it should have been near impossible. And yet, somehow, you did it. You believed yourself back into existence. It's truly rare to have so much faith in anything, even for a god. He paused and ran a finger along his thickly bearded chin before adding, especially for a god. Olonru tapped his foot on the ground. Perhaps it is because... He stopped and shook his head. It doesn't matter. Even with a belief in yourself and in a love that is as strong as yours, it is still a near impossibility. The recollection of oneself after being sundered, especially in your physical condition, You have always had potential to be more, Shigidi, and I expected that your time would come. But it seems fate has led you on a different path from that which I envisaged for you. You have twice been tested, much sooner than I anticipated, and twice you have far exceeded my expectations. Shigidi squinted in confusion. Potential? Test? Expectations? Plan? What is he talking about? But he didn't want to stop the flow of words coming from Olonru, so he didn't interrupt. Olonru was almost talking to himself, trying to convince himself of something. Perhaps there is more to the value of formlessness and flexibility than even I originally foresaw. Perhaps it was a waste of your talents to hide you in corners of the spirit company, weaving petty nightmares in that ugly shrunken form for all those years. I thought it was necessary at the time, but perhaps I was wrong, huh? Perhaps if I had made different choices, the company would not be in the state it is now. Olonro leaned forward. You are a strong one, Shigidi, huh? Stronger than I expected you to be when I first made you and yielded a portion of my ash to you. And full of far more potential. For the first time since Shigidi had met Olonro face to face, he could hear something in the tone of the old god's voice that sounded a lot like pride. Shigidi gripped Noma's hand tighter. She'd said it too when they'd first encountered each other in that hotel room. Potential. She too had sensed something in him, and she'd even reminded him of it, even when they were in the car being chased by Magog. Noma fixed her gaze intently on Olonro. The lines of her face deepened. What is everyone seeing in me that I can't see in myself? Perhaps, as he had come to find, it was just like everything else about him. Easy to read, but formless and poorly defined. Its shape unclear and difficult to pin down, even for himself. Potential for what? What plan did you have for me? Shigidi asked. I will tell you both when the time is right, Olonro said. Shigidi wanted to ask more, so much more, but every question that his mind constructed felt like broken glass when it reached his tongue, so he didn't ask any of them. Noma pouted but didn't press either, and they allowed the silence to settle. From the far corner of the room, Alistair stood up and interrupted the silence with a muttered question, apparently directed at Noma. Can I go now, love? I think my debt is paid in full. Shigidi had completely forgotten he was still there. Olonro turned sharply and stared at the anxious magician. Alistair started to shake visibly. He tried to hold the gaze, but he couldn't, and eventually he wilted and sat back down in the corner, hugging his knees like he was trying to fold himself into the tiny space and disappear. Olonro broke out in exuberant laughter, folding his arms in front of him. Don't give yourself a heart attack, Oyibo, he said as he returned to his desk and settled heavily into the plush leather chair. He closed his eyes and put his hands to his temples, deep in thought. Noma leaned over and kissed Shigidi again, and then she rose, laying his head down carefully on the floor. He stared at the plain white ceiling, pockmarked with small holes in the plaster, like missing information, and then he turned his head. Noma was with Alistair, who was still shaking. She extended her hand to him, he took it, and she helped him up from his fetal position in the corner. She gave him a light kiss on the cheek. Shigidi was surprised to find that he didn't feel even the faintest hint of jealousy anymore. Yes, Alistair, your debt is paid in full, she said. What just happened? What does Oyibo even mean? He said, lowering his voice and leaning in. His voice, like his hands, was shaking. Oh, it's just a slang term for a white person. He doesn't know your name. Oh, good, Alistair said, allowing his voice to return to its normal level. I don't think I want him to. Demons and magic I can handle, but gods make me uncomfortable. Me too, she said. And yet, look at me. I know this is not how you expected your night to go, but I'm glad we found you. Thank you for everything. I'm not sure I even understand what happened tonight. Weirdest heist I've ever seen or heard of, Alistair replied. I am just glad it's over and we are all alive and here. Me too, Noma echoed. Will you be okay? Alistair asked, staring over her shoulder at Olonro's pensive face. When Shigiri heard the question, he found himself wondering the same thing. Will we be okay? Yes, Noma told Alistair. I have Shigiri with me. I will take care of him. We will take care of each other. We will be okay. I hope you will be okay. Alistair nodded. I hope so too, and I think I will be, but I might avoid London spirit side for a while. First, I have to go back to the temple, make sure the Weir Landrillic is back where it belongs, and buy old George a drink to apologize, you know? She nodded. Yes, I know. I'm sorry about that. It's all right, love. He wasn't hurt. Alistair scratched his head. Well, maybe his pride was. A bit. Yes, probably, but you humans have too much to begin with, she smiled. Will I see you again? Alistair asked, dropping his voice again. There was a hint of something like hope floating atop the question. Probably not, Alistair. And you should be happy about that. We no longer owe each other anything, and I hope we never will. It took almost 100 years, but our transaction is completed. Enjoy the rest of your life. I hope you finally find what you've been searching for all these years and through all your lives. I think I have. She glanced in Shigidi's direction, and Shigiri could feel his heart soar. So have I, Noma. So have I. And maybe consider changing careers, she said to Alistair, still smiling. I don't know if this emo teen rock star thing you have going on right now is really working for you. I preferred you when you were the great beast, brash and arrogant, with a bit more belly on you and a bit less hair on your head too. Ah, well, everyone is a Satanist these days. I wouldn't stand out, he quipped, displaying a thin-lipped smile. Then maybe consider the priesthood. They shared a laugh and then a final lingering hug. You know, it's funny, but I'm glad I met you, Alistair said as he took a step back toward the door. There's one thing I always wanted to ask you. Sure, she said. Go ahead. You're not a manifestation of the goddess Nui, are you? No. She smiled and placed her finger coated with yellow shimmer on his chest. I'm so much more. She pushed gently. Goodbye, Noma. Alistair took 2 steps backward, spun around and left, shutting the wood grain door behind him and leaving them in silence once again. Noma sighed and returned to Shigidi's side, kneeling beside him so that her nose touched his. There were pale streaks running along her cheeks where tears had fallen. He took her hand again and squeezed it tight. Her touch was warm. With her other hand, she took the base of his jaw between her thumb and forefinger, pulling down gently. What are you still stressed about? Shigiri managed a small smile. She returned his smile and held it for a moment before she looked away, up at Oloru, who was still quietly thinking at his desk. So how do we collect our payment now that... Noma started, before Oloru raised his hand to stop her. Please, just wait, eh? She interlocked her fingers with Shigiri's, and they remained there, waiting for what seemed like a lifetime, unsure what to do next, if anything at all. Section 6 would probably be looking for them, but Shigiri didn't care. He focused on her breath, the steady flow and warmth of it, until they were synchronized, like 2 halves of the same creature. The cloud-filtered light streaming in through the window shortened the shadows around them as the sun rose up higher in the sky. Shigiri wasn't sure how much time passed before Oloru finally moved. When he did, his motions were quick, leaving a trail of his image behind, as if his presence was so intense that he had imprinted onto space itself, and it took time for the world to adjust to his absence. His hands left his temples and swiped across the table as he picked up the calabash of water on his desk and tossed in the turtle shell, cowries, dried frogskin, and kola nuts. The water started to bubble. Shigiri, fascinated, angled his head to get a better view. Oloru tossed the red clay onto the floor beside the desk and typed something carefully on the old and clumsy computer keyboard before taking a deep swig of palm wine and spitting it out in a wild spray over the calabash. The bubbling became an eruption, its contents leaping into the air and splashed on him like he'd just sprayed water onto hot palm oil. He poured the agitated water over the red clay on the floor, and the floor rippled where they made contact, like it too had become fluid, taken on the quality of the water. So, it was a secret gateway after all. Noma was right. "It's ready," he said to them calmly. "But unfortunately, it's detectable. Once I use this, British Spirit Bureau border authorities will know there has been a breach. They will know there is a back door and where it leads, so they will know it was me. They will probably find it and block it in a matter of hours. But I have a follow-up board meeting to attend to. So be it. Teju is in charge here at the Nigeria High Commission, so she can deal with the diplomatic fallout while I end this business with Shongo. Besides, I promised you safe passage back to Orun, free of Shongo's wrath, and I intend to keep that promise. But first, we need to go to Ogun's workshop." "Ogun? The Orisha of Iron and War?" Noma asked. Shigidi shook his head. "No, not war." "Not anymore," Olorun clarified. "He chose to retire from that role and spirit company politics centuries ago, which is why he helped me craft the brass head and embed my wartime aspect into it. It had previously been within him, and the process sundered him, as you can imagine. It has taken a long time for him to reincarnate in a new form with the new ash I gave him. Perhaps too long. Anyway, he handles only metalwork and technology now. He will take care of you, nurse you back to full strength while you get used to your new constitution." Noma looked confused. "Why him? Why not a healer?" Olorun paused and smiled in a flash of bright white teeth. "Primarily because I trust him. I can't say that about everyone in the company right now. But also because he is no longer a member of the board, and Shopona, who would have been my first choice, is dead, taking on a different and more abstract form. Besides, Shigidi needs a new arm. Clearly, my clay is no longer enough to contain the assorted powers he has been absorbing and accumulating. So, we will need to make an adjustment." He faced Shigidi directly. "We want to keep your flexibility and ability to absorb different energies. But we need to increase your overall pure strength, and boost your ability to resist great forces if you are to live up to your full potential. I know Ogun has been working on some new metal clay admixtures." Noma and Shigidi looked at each other when Olorun asked, "How do you like the sound of steel?"
"I like it. I like it a lot."
Shigidi squeezed out a blood-stained smile. "One more change, hopefully for the better."
"Good. I knew you would. We will reinforce you with it."
Olorun nodded and angled his head at the gateway he'd just opened.
"Oya, enter. Let's go."
Noma helped Shigidi to his feet. His stump throbbed with a new and more mature pain when he moved. Every motion sent stabs of it through the rest of his body, but he clenched his jaw and pushed past the pain. Once he stood, he could barely keep his feet under him. Noma hung his arm around her shoulder, carrying most of his weight, and he was grateful for it. Grateful for her. They struggled over to the place on the floor where the red clay had been. It was now a backdoor portal that shone and rippled and swirled like a red-tinted liquid mirror or the opening to a dream. He stared into it, the gateway back to Orun, back to the home of the Orishas, his birthplace, his home. He felt a tug in his chest, like the pull of a treasured memory. "Are you ready?" Noma asked, shifting her bare feet. Yes, Shigidi replied. I am. I am ready for whatever comes next. And with that, they stepped into the gateway together.